And that's why I believe in you, because that is the greatest purpose. It's to love. Honest. It sounds corny, whatever you want to say. I don't care. I love people because there is freedom and power in loving people.
Hello, all you positive heads out there. Thanks for tuning your beautiful brainwaves into another episode of the Positive Head Podcast, where we have the crazy belief that creating success and happiness is a daily conscious effort, which is why we provide you with a fresh serving of soul food for thought 5 days a week. I'm your host, Brandon Beecham, and each and every Wednesday, you can tune in to hear me interview a different consciousness changemaker that is out there working tirelessly to help catalyze change and expand awareness all across spaceship Earth. On the other 4 weekdays, you can tune in to myself and my co-host, Dalian, giving interpretations of our favorite thought-provoking quotes, sharing a bit of inspiring or mysterious news, taking questions from the audience, and digging into any other mind-expansive topics that will help keep your soul fed by tuning you in to positive vibrations on a regular basis. Also, this Positive Head podcast is definitely a labor of love for Dalian and I, but make no mistake, it takes a lot of time, energy, and resources to produce 5 episodes each and every week for you, our listeners. So if you enjoy the Positive Head podcast, it would be stellar and much appreciated if you showed us your support at positivehead.com by picking up one of our unique Positive Head bracelets. Of course, you would most certainly be helping yourself in the process because it functions as much more than just another stylish accessory. And if you haven't ever seen one, they're really cool, simple little bracelets with our Flower of Life Sacred Geometry inspired logo. They're actually made out of recycled tires and metal, so our intention is, of course, to do something positive by giving new life to previously discarded goods. And as far as their functionality goes, they act as a daily reminder to help you focus on the positive aspects of your daily life. The concept was actually inspired by studies that you can read about on our website. But besides that, many people believe just wearing something with sacred geometry is empowering in and of itself, which you can also read about on our site. And of course, as the Buddha once famously said, what you think, you become. So we believe having something on your wrist that reminds you to keep a positive head, the same way a Fitbit reminds you to keep active, makes a whole lot of sense. Of course, we charge way less than Fitbit for helping you to manage your mental health because we let you name your price for your positive head bracelet. The reason we do that is because our heartfelt intention is to spread the positivity at all costs, first and foremost. That is our primary aim. And we don't ever want money to stand in the way of somebody wearing one. So if money is super tight and you want to pay as low as our cost to get one, no problem. On the flip side, if you love our podcast and just hit the lotto and want to show us your support by paying $1 million for one, well, that won't hurt our feelings much either, I assure you. All right, all you positive heads, on this week's interview episode, my heart is bursting with excitement because I have Deborah Rosman, the president and co-CEO of HeartMath, here with me on the show. Hello, Deborah. Welcome, welcome.
Hello, hello, Brandon. Wonderful to
share. Oh, so great to have you. I've been looking forward to this for quite some time. It's such a fascinating subject matter. We talk so much on the show about the heart and living from the heart. And we also love to constantly talk about, you know, the science to help prove some of the concepts that we talk about. So this couldn't be more up the Positive Head podcast alley, so to speak. But to dive right in, a question I often like to ask at the top of the show, you're in an elevator. You've got 10 floors to answer. The lady next to you looks to you and says, "So what's your passion?" What do you say?
My elevator pitch, huh? I say my passion is helping people to learn how to listen to and follow their deeper heart and how to take the noise out of the way so they know what that is.
Ah, that's a wonderful answer. So let's get into some of that. So for people who aren't familiar, can you explain what HeartMath is?
Sure. Well, HeartMath is basically an oxymoron, putting heart and math together. A lot of people go, what does that mean? It's intriguing. And totally. the reason we did that is because when we came together, myself, Doc Childrey, a team of others, researchers, engineers, musicians, just a bunch of people who came together who said, we want to understand if all these sayings about the heart, listen to your heart, follow your heart, go deep in your heart for the answer, is there any scientific or physiological underpinnings to that, or is it the stuff of poetry, philosophy, religion? We right. were all meditators, and we knew there had to be some intrinsic truth to it, so we wanted to find out what that was. So heart and math. Math was the systematic research into understanding this aspect of the heart.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, it makes me think of an Aristotle quote that I've seen a few times. Educating the mind without educating the heart is no education at all. So, you know, even back then, you have these sort of, you know, wise thinkers that sort of pointed to this being an important thing to do. Now, you're one of four authors of a new book. You and you mentioned Doc, the founder, right, of HeartMath, and a couple others. It's Heart Intelligence, Connecting with Intuitive Guidance of the Heart. Can you tell us a little about this still forthcoming book, right?
No, it's out. It's been launched.
Oh, you did release.
We released it. It is available in a EPUB version, Kindle version on Amazon only. People
Excellent.
Can go to Amazon. And there's also an printed version so that you can purchase it on Amazon, print on demand,
Excellent.
And they will ship it to you. And so
oh, okay.
it's available.
Excellent. Last time I talked to someone over at HeartMath, it wasn't out yet a few months ago, so I didn't realize it was already released. That's excellent. So yeah. Anyone can find that. Well, can you give us a sort of a rundown on, you know, what that means, connecting with intuitive guidance of the heart?
Sure. Well, you know, people say that expression, go deep into your heart to find the answer. Now, what does that mean? What answer are you going to find there? When we really have nowhere else to go, we always end up trying to search inside and go within. And very often we realize that we have to drop deeper into our body. We can't just stay stuck in our heads. You see, these metaphors
right.
are already in our language. But what does
yeah,
it mean?
Yeah.
You know, what does it really mean? And when you really have that genuine connection with your deeper heart, answers come, or sometimes they come later when we're in the shower, or when we're just not thinking directly about the problem we want the answer to. We call that the intelligence of the heart. And it's like a
right.
flow of awareness and intuitive guidance and understanding, the aha that we want.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens when our mind and emotions are brought into a coherent alignment with the heart. That's why we often go for a walk in the woods or by the beach, to be able to get out of the head and out of the feelings of emotional upset or worry or concern, to find that deeper place inside. And that's where we're connected more with our, call it your soul, your spirit, your higher self, a non-local field of information. That's where we connect with those answers, and they come to us as an intuitive feeling, as a sensation, as a stream of thoughts, as a download of some sort. So that is the intuitive guidance. But research has shown that the heart is the primary portal, the main trunk line for accessing that information, that radio station, if you will.
Right. Right. And, you know, I've heard it said, and you could probably verify whether this is correct or not, I believe it is, that the heart sends twice as many signals to the head, to the brain, as the brain does to the heart. So,
well,
have you heard this?
Well, let me give you this very specific research.
Please.
There are nerves going between the heart and brain, and they heart and brain talk to each other. There's two ways. The vagal nerve, there's the sympathetic nervous system, the parasympathetic nervous system. The brain controls the heart, you know, the interaction of that autonomic nervous system, but the heart also is sending signals to the brain. What's interesting is 90% of the traffic between the heart and brain is mm-hmm. the heart telling the brain what to do and what the body feels. It's not twice as much. It's 90%.
Wow. That's incredible. So, you know, that you often think of all the intelligence coming from the heart. I mean, from the brain, so to speak. And, you know, I had an experience maybe a little over a year ago where I did a plant medicine ceremony with ayahuasca. And I was having a moment during the ceremony where I sort of dropped into sort of a fearful moment or something, you know, dealing with some latent fears. And the friend of mine who actually is, you know, led these sort of ceremonies for 25 years, he kind of sat down with me for a few minutes and started had me start doing a breathing technique to move from my head, which is what I was lost in, having these sort of fearful thoughts at the moment, into my heart, and sort of, you know, had me picture and kind of painted the picture of, you know, imagine all of your center of gravity, your awareness is now in your heart. And in that space, you can cope with so much more, and you become so much more expanded. And of course, being a ceremony like it was a very profound effect for me. I mean, I literally felt like, you know, we're always think of ourselves sort of living, looking out of our eyes. I felt like my face was on my chest. You know what I mean? Like I was literally in that heart center in a way I never had been before. And that was really sort of an aha moment for me that you can live, you know, from the heart as your sort of jumping off point. This is the center of your being as opposed to, you know, the head.
Exactly. Heart-based living. In fact, that's the name of chapter 11 in the book. And the whole first chapter starts off with it's heart time on the planet. And that's because the next level of human intelligence is to get the heart and brain in sync. The heart has its own little brain or intrinsic nervous system inside that was only discovered in the 1990s that can sense, feel, learn, remember. It's processing information. And it is sending that information to the brain and the head. And this little brain and the heart is independent of the brain and the head. So that's why our heart can feel one way and our head another. But the real next level of human consciousness, human intelligence, is to get this two-way information highway between the heart and brain in sync so that we are leading with our heart sensitivity, our heart intuition, and the mind aligns with it and then carries it out, and all the wonderful things our mind and intellect can do are in alignment. So if you have the mind running off without the input of the heart, which has that energetic connection with all living things, with the center of being, with your soul or spirit, with who you really are. If the mind isn't connected with that or the brain, it's going to go off and do all sorts of make choices that are based on fear and survival and what it does remember from its memory centers, because it's an incredible computer. The brain is based a lot on learning and memory and cognition through the senses, but it needs this input from the heart to bring in new understanding, not just a synthesis of what the brain has learned. You put it all together, and we call that heart intelligence, because the heart, we've seen in research, is actually the driver of that process. Then you have an incredible new human being who is heart-centered, connected, empathetic, compassionate, caring, loving, one with the earth, and the mind and the brain then become creative and dynamic to based upon that awareness.
Right. And so you made an interesting point. Would you say, you know, mentioning connecting to the higher self or soul, or do you feel like the heart is sort of the portal to, you know, our higher self, or, you know, something like that? Is that as opposed to coming in through the brain? Because of course you also hear about experiences through the pineal gland opening, the third eye kind of thing. Is there, what would you say in regards to that, and maybe the difference between those two sort of, you know, experiences?
Yeah, well, I would say the heart being the central chakra in between all of the others is the one that actually feels connected. And when you are opening the heart through breathing, through yoga, through meditation, through a gift, you know, through grace, the pineal gland, the heart then signals the pituitary and the pineal. So you activate those higher centers through the heart, which is why most meditation practices, yoga methods, religions have some sort of either devotion or loving kindness or something that activates the heart, some breathing, so that love is what's running the whole show. So you feel connected with that love, and that's what helps open the higher centers of the brain.
Very, very interesting. Now, the book actually goes into discoveries your team made about intuition being connected with the heart's rhythms. Can you explain a little about this?
Sure. Well, remember I said that 90% of the neural traffic between the heart and the brain is actually mm-hmm. originating in the heart. And what's mm-hmm. very fascinating, the heart actually communicates to the brain in four different ways, but I'm going to focus on the one that's, I think, important right now for what we can do something about, where we actually can interact with. And the heart is beating 2.5 watts of power with every beat. It's amazingly mm-hmm. the most powerful generator of electricity in our body and magnetic field energy as well. And so what the heart is radiating through every beat is actually being broadcast to every cell in the body and the brain as well as out into the room or the atmosphere. And that's how we pick up other people's feelings and vibes, as we say. The beat-to-beat changes in heart rate. You know, each heart rate is not just 60 beats a minute or 70 beats a minute. Heart rate changes with every beat. It can be like 75, 65, 80, 55. And so the average is whatever you see in your watch or a heart rate monitor. But if you can see the beat-to-beat changes, which is what the HeartMath technology shows, it's called heart rate variability, it is totally reflective of what you're feeling. It's absolutely amazing. This was a discovery we made at the HeartMath Research Institute in 1993. It was published in the American Journal of Cardiology in 1995. What that is showing is that when you're feeling genuine love and care and kindness, appreciation, positive heart feelings, positive warm-hearted feelings, mm-hmm. which are called qualities of spirit in almost every religion or spiritual practice, the heart rate variability pattern becomes very smooth. It's a smooth rhythm, like a sine wave-like rhythm, which is why we call it a coherent waveform. The mm-hmm. heart signals the brain whatever its rhythm it's experiencing. So when you're stressed, frustrated, anxious, worried, impatient, that same heart rhythm pattern becomes very jerky changes in heart rate, even very quickly, over 10 seconds, over a minute, over 5 minutes, over an hour, however long we're feeling that stressful emotion. And the heart signals that pattern of the brain. Think of the brain as a pattern matching computer. And it's going to say, wow, when was the last time I felt fear or anger or frustration? And then it throws up the memory from the amygdala, which synchronizes with the heartbeat. Core cells in the amygdala synchronize with the heartbeat. And then you end up having all of these traumas from the past come up and they recycle. And so the heart is really telling the brain how the body feels. Even if the brain, get this, saw mm-hmm. like a dog that was running at you, because it's coming in through the senses, not through the heart. You're seeing a mad dog rushing after you. The brain goes right into fight, flight, survival mode, fear mode, and then it signals the heart. We need to really speed up the heart rate and get out of here. And of course, you're then mm-hmm. going to have a very incoherent pattern. So that's the two-way communication. But what we can manage, what we can take charge of, is when we're feeling, you know, the impatience, the frustration, the worry, the anxiety, we can actually, through a certain pattern of rhythmic breathing and through choice of finding something at the moment to feel grateful for, we can actually change that heart rhythm pattern in the spaces of a few heartbeats to a smooth rhythmic pattern. And that will signal the brain that the body's coming back into balance, all is well, and it'll help the brain calm down those mm-hmm. stressful emotions. So it is the window into our emotional system, and the, being able to interact with our heart rhythm is what enables us to consistently, moment to moment, access our heart intelligence. And once we get that coherent rhythm going in the heart and brain, then picture heart intelligence as the flow of awareness, understanding, and intuitive guidance, and the bigger holistic perception that we have access to And that's when the brain and heart rhythms are brought into alignment. And then that heart intelligence steps down because of our access to our spirit, the power of love from universal source. And we're directly plugged in to our life's interactions. And it becomes, how do you use that in very practical, approachable ways, which, you know, inform us of our path to our purpose or our fulfillment. And that's what the whole book's about.
Wow. It's sort of like, I'm not sure if you're familiar with the teachings of Abraham, but I think of, you know, she often talks about getting in the vortex. And it seems like it's the sort of physical approach to helping to get into this sort of vibrational state that is, that gives you access to more intelligence, more information, and like you mentioned earlier, downloads and so forth from, you know, beyond just your local self, right?
Exactly. Well, if you look at, you know, once by deciding to study in our lab the electrophysiology of when people were in these loving, caring states and when they were in angry, anxious, worried, stressed states, and seeing the changes in the physiology. And I'm not going to even talk about the hormonal changes or the other ways we've researched this, but just in the heart rhythm pattern, it's amazing what you see as far as once people can sustain that coherent sine wave-like pattern and with some heart rhythm biofeedback, that they begin to connect deeper in the heart. And then you can ask questions of yourself from that state and really get clear answers from who you really are, your higher self. And almost every religion, ancient spiritual tradition from all over the world talks about this heart and has mantras or chanting or prayers that actually are at the same breathing rhythm as the rhythm that can bring you into that heart rhythm coherence. We're just now looking at the underlying physiology of it.
Wow. Would you say everyone has sort of this heart intuition if they, you know, get into a coherent state, or some more inclined to have it than others? I mean, are some like the Kobe Bryants of basketball and some are, you know, you have to work really hard at it?
You know, working hard at it doesn't open it up because that's the opposite.
Right.
You know, the people who have more of a natural appreciation, joy, care, positive outlook on life have a much easier access to it. If we've had a lot of trauma in our life or genetically predisposed to being pessimists, then we still can change that. Through epigenetics, we are not predestined to have that all our life, but it's through the heart, through going back into this smooth heart rhythm pattern, through finding things to love, like a pet, to be grateful for, or a garden, or nature, or a loved one, whatever, to reopen that heart is essential for healing trauma and for changing those genetic markers. And so we've researched that, and we know that everybody has that. We all have a heart. We all have heart beats, or we wouldn't be here on the planet. We all can get in this coherent heart rhythm, but some of us have easier access to that intuition than others, either through years of prayer, meditation, or disposition, or being female, they tend to have an easier access, probably because of the nurturing mother qualities that society has brought most females up with. And so, but it's available to anyone once you learn how to develop. And that's, again, why we call it heart math, because we develop a system of techniques and tools and the heart rhythm feedback technology where people can step by step, systematically, come back into that heart alignment, open the heart, and begin to heal the neural circuits and get them back in sync so that we can have that connection with who we truly are.
Now, at HeartMath, you guys actually offer certain products to help with monitoring and achieving this stuff using, you know, science, essentially. What do you guys offer that can help people to do this?
Yes, we developed a heart rate variability coherence feedback device. It comes in three forms. There's a desktop version for your computer called the M-Wave Pro, and that's what a lot of health professionals use because your pattern of HRV and the amount of heart rate variability or HRV you have is predictive of future health problems. It's predictive of all-cause mortality. It's really this key regulator of a lot of the stress and hormonal response and then the cascade of effect of symptoms and disease. And when you come back into heart coherence or change your baseline pattern, you start to bring in more of that healing energy as well. So the M-Wave Pro is one, and it also has games on it, you know, simple casual games that operate on your coherence level. So colors change if you're incoherent, they turn black and white if you're not, for example. Then there's the M-Wave 2, which is a handheld device, M-Wave Personal Stress Reliever, we originally called it. And it's a portable device you can keep in your pocket. It's about the size of a credit card. And that also shows you when you're in no coherence or low coherence or medium coherence or high coherence. And when you plug it in, it by lights that change color. You know, green is high coherence. And then when you hook it up through the USB into your computer, you can actually use it that way and see in real time your heart rate variability pattern. You can see that on all three technologies, and you can track your progress. You can sync it to the Heart Cloud, all free sync, where you can get rewards for practice, because the whole key is practice to change the neural circuits. And then we have the Inner Balance app, which you can download from iTunes. It's free, but then you have to get a sensor to plug it in to the charger port of your iPhone or iPad or iPod Touch, and that will also give you that heart rhythm coherence feedback. Again, people are starting to catch on to heart rate variability. That is a key biometric for health and wellness and sports and fitness and training. And that is starting to get popular on all these mobile health devices. But the intervention, the thing that's going to help you know when you're in sync or out of sync, in tune or not with yourself, is the coherence training and coherence feedback that you get from devices such as the M-Wave, the Inner Balance, or the Pro version. And it helps people get to that meditative state that a lot of people struggle with mindfulness or other methods, which are all wonderful. They're all helpful. But if you can get there within a few minutes and see with the feedback how to stay there longer in that place of inner peace and stillness, which is so important for, I mean, the intuition's not going to get in if there's all sorts of noise going on. But what take most people 20, 30 minutes to wind down, this gets you there in a few minutes. So it's got four challenge levels, so even advanced meditators use it. And so it's a very powerful, wonderful technology that I love and so many people are using.
Very, very cool. Now, in the book, you guys sort of demystify ancient spiritual practices like stillness. And of course, that's good because many of us struggle with meditation or quieting the mind. I mean, is it really, you know, that simple? I mean, the book, you know, makes it sound pretty simple. And how much practice does it take for someone to get to this still place?
Well, it depends. The one reason we help people get into this heart coherent state is it actually pulls the mind and the heart, like you experienced when you were having that helper help you when you were on your ayahuasca journey. The whole idea is we've been so entrained to be in the head, we need to train ourselves to shift to the heart. And the more we can practice throughout the day, moment to moment, not just in meditation, of just shift to the heart, slow the mental and emotional vibratory rate down and recenter in the heart. And HeartMath has a dozen techniques that you use on the go during your day to be able to help you hook into the heart and get it locked in there. In fact, one technique is called the heart lock-in. And then that takes you quickly to more stillness. You know, forget the mystical and think of inner stillness as just something very practical and something you want to be able to access during the day. You know, like when we tell children, who are whining about something to get still inside and listen because we have something to tell them. Mm-hmm. We can do that for ourselves if we can quiet the static, the mental and emotional static. So the technology, the HeartMath tools are specially designed to facilitate easier access to stillness and its connection to our natural inner wisdom and guidance. And again, it's all about learning. First step is focus on the heart. And next is heart-focused breathing. Shift to the heart. Breathe through the heart. Pretend your mind is sitting in your heart. We mm-hmm. work with children in over 1,000 schools for some of these tools called early heart smarts and heart smarts. And we say, pretend you have eyes in your heart. Pretend your ears are in your heart. So you're listening with your heart. Adults need to do this too. And you were just sharing why it was so powerful for you.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the obviously this is a very powerful thing for people to focus on. And as you mentioned, there's many techniques you guys have that are talked about in the book, and you shared a few simple ones. And of course, I shared my experience, which is I certainly have seen what it can do for me. And ever since then, I've really made it a focus when I get into that sort of agitated state, which is a challenge that I personally can have. You know, I'm sort of talk fast, think fast, move fast. And that is conducive to, if something goes wrong, you know, being able to get agitated maybe easily. And so when I just stop and focus on breathing and moving into my heart, how it's all, everything sort of just, it sort of deflates all of that. And I'm not saying that I always can or do, but I get better. Like, you know, like you said, with practice, it gets easier and easier, and it feels good. And you realize I've got the power to choose differently. And once you kind of start down that path, it's becomes sort of like the only way to do it. And would you agree that as you move into your heart or move, you know, continue to focus on breathing? I've heard it said when you breathe shallow, that's sort of a symbology of how much you can manage or handle that's going on in your environment. If you're breathing deeply, it's sort of like, you know, this expanded ability to manage challenges. Would you say that there's some truth to that?
Yes, definitely. The physiology, the science supports that. In fact, to get our technology to turn green, meaning your heart rhythm in that smooth sine wave coherent pattern where you feel better, you feel positive, the brain syncs up, so you're more clear, you're more in the flow. You have to find mm-hmm. that state of ease. And one of the quickest things, we call it quick coherence, is a simple process. It's the first basic heart math technique, is to focus your attention in the area of the heart, in the center of your chest, mm-hmm. and pretend like your breath is coming in through the area of the heart and out through the area of the heart. And you breathe a little more slowly, a little more deeply than usual, maybe to a count of 5 or 6. Breathe in through the area of the heart and breathe out through the area of the heart. And everybody can try that right now, but you keep your attention focused in the center of the chest, in the heart. So your mind is there. You've shifted as you do that slow rhythmic breathing through the heart area or the chest area. And if I had you hooked up to a heart rate variability monitor, you would see your heart rhythm pattern change in real time as you did this.
Wow.
And that's the very first step, we call heart focused breathing. And people can learn to do that for 10 seconds, 20 seconds throughout the day, and it'll start to help you ease into a state of ease and flow where you move more gracefully and less frenetically. Because with what's happening on the planet, with the high speed, everybody's talking fast, moving fast. I do that at times too. And the energy's coming into the planet. Like, we're recording this right now on a full moon day, which tends to amplify everybody's energies emotionally and mentally, and can speed up the nervous system. But there's a whole planetary shift going on with new powerful energies coming into this planetary system that is just speeding up everything. So a week can feel like 2 days. Where did it go? And with our communication devices and technology speeding everything up, the whole human system can speed up. So it becomes even more important for us to get our hand on the regulator and be able to slow it down and get still when we need. So throughout the day, you can practice maybe 1 minute an hour, this heart-focused breathing, and it becomes then a pattern where your own intuition will start reminding you, like an intuitive prompter, which we write about in the book, that'll start signaling you, time to shift to the heart, or time to breathe ease. Because once you start that heart-focused breathing, then you can add, as you breathe, a quality, a heart quality to it, like ease, or breathe kindness to yourself or another, or compassion for yourself or another, or just genuine gratitude or appreciation or love or forgiveness. All of those feelings put you in that coherent heart rhythm.
Yeah.
They're all frequencies, distinct frequencies that resonate energetically with the power of love.
Yeah, that was exactly what I was going to ask you next is, you know, if you're moving into this sort of physical state consciously, do you feel like that sort of opens a portal to a more being, a more loving, you know, unconditionally loving being?
I think it's essential. Absolutely. Yeah. As you're doing this more consciously and intentionally through the heart, you're opening the heart more, and you open more heart frequencies where you are more connected with life. You're more loving. More spirit can flow through you. And there's a carryover effect. You know, just even breathing the attitude of ease, heart-focused breathing, and just breathing a state of ease, an attitude of ease, helps us to step down the carryover effects of our inner stillness meditations, our other self-help practices, and helps remind us that prompter can come in when you start to have mental impatience, something that's overriding the intuitive whispers of your higher choices, which happens to all of us. You know, then you can have that prompter say, wait a minute, you know what to do, you have the tools, shift back to the heart, breathe ease, open your heart, ask your heart, what would be a more appropriate response? And you're going to get that intuitive clarity.
What do you say to someone? I've been dealing with someone in my personal life who, you know, that I've been seeing, a girl, a female who has had a lot of sort of trauma, childhood trauma from parents, some issues with, you know, masculine energy and interactions, you know, that have happened with people, that is so aware of all this sort of information and so tapped in spiritually and has some really profound experiences, you know, spiritually speaking, but just has this sort of fluctuation of, as she put it, she'll sometimes have weeks where she's just in this blissed out, elevated state and perspective, and, you know, kind of looks at like any of her past issues with heart and being, having her heart open, closed rather, as like, okay, I finally overcome these sort of issues that developed from these, you know, childhood traumas or negative, you know, trauma with dealing with men. And then all of a sudden she thinks she's there and she's made all this progress. And it's funny, even, you know, sharing time and space with her and romantically and so forth, even seeing it sort of come and go, like, oh, who's it going to be today? You know, she seems like she's heart opened and everything. And then all of a sudden it closes again. And so there's an awareness, very much so an awareness, mentally, but, and there's a real frustration with her because she's like, I just don't know. I keep thinking I've moved through it and I'm moving past it. And then there it is again. And I don't really, you know what to do to keep my heart open. You know, is there any sort of thoughts or suggestions that you would have for, cause I'm sure there's others out there who have a similar sort of experience.
Sure. Well, one thing is to realize that whenever we're on a planet where part of the enlightenment process is when more light comes in, it shows you what you don't want to see. I mean, that's what light does. It turns light on the darkness. But I don't look at that as bad. It's density. It's what's unresolved. It's what's still in the cells. It's the patterns.
Yeah.
And so being able to appreciate that process and appreciate your progress, because we're all, you can think you're there. Wow. I'm never, you know, because you are for that moment. But then life happens. You get triggered. An old pattern comes up. from the subconscious or unconscious, or while you're sleeping, it comes up and you say, what did I do? You know, and this is part of the cleansing and clearing the whole planet is going through. I mean,
yeah.
So first step is genuine understanding that and compassion. There's nothing wrong, nothing bad. Mm-hmm. Then the next step is, how do we accelerate the clearing of what's still in the cells that can pop up at any time? And that is a process of, as you practice increasing your baseline heart rhythm coherence, this is what we found, and you practice these techniques and tools, and you're really achieving a neural pattern baseline shift. The core cells of the amygdala, I said before, and that's where the trauma is held, the emotional memory centers of the brain. The cells of the amygdala actually synchronize to the heartbeat, the pacemaker cells of the heart. So when you start to have trauma or stress or something triggers you, the heart signals the brain, the amygdala. There's a straight path to the amygdala. There's several paths, but that's one. And then it's going to throw up the emotional memory of the trauma, whether it's conscious or not, of the childhood trauma, and it's going to put mm-hmm. you back in that feeling state. If you can learn how to regulate your heart rhythm, where at that time or by practicing, you've built a strength in the heart coherent rhythm, and you can see what's going on, you say, that's just an old physiological trigger that's mm-hmm. bringing up that feeling memory or this attitude, this reaction that's shutting down my heart for protection. Then you yeah. can actually, in that moment, recenter, use the M-Wave technologies, what so many health professionals who work with trauma patients find useful, and you get in the green. You're like rebooting your computer. And so you just wow. reboot a lot. And then right. soon that takes over, and those patterns actually start to, you might say, erase. In other words, the pattern match in the amygdala doesn't get triggered anymore quite as often and less, and you have more intelligence that comes in, the heart intelligence of not analyzing what happened and why. That's old, the psychoanalysis. It's more from that higher intuition giving you the understanding of your blueprint and your purpose, and then you can just let go and shift and have that understanding of what's going on. To me, that's true enlightenment. It's bringing in higher intelligence to apply right. to that.
Right, absolutely. Now, question for you, and this is, you know, obviously you guys, I love how you have these excellent tools, this technology to help with these, this kind of process. What do you think about, technology such as, you know, more rudimentary, like crystals, for example? You know, there are a lot of people, it seems, more and more who that I meet anyway, who are very drawn to crystals and, you know, of course, supposed benefits. I think of, like, for example, like rose quartz. It's supposed to be very heart opening. And what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, crystals are a certain geometric pattern and they emit a certain frequency. Everything's frequency. And as you move more into the heart-brain alignment and access more heart intelligence, you begin to have a wider perspective and actually perceive everything as vibration and frequency. And your thoughts are frequencies. Your feelings are frequencies. Stressful emotions are denser frequencies. Higher, more refined feelings like bliss and joy are higher frequencies, faster moving. So crystals, rocks, they're a denser frequency, but crystals have a lot of light coming through them. And so it can affect you if your heart is open to it. If you're, a lot of that is what you put into it. Trees have right. a frequency. So all of these, there's so many things that can be beneficial. It's what you're drawn to. But like I always like to say to people, if you open your heart to your pet or to a loved one, or if you love your crystal, that's fine, to something where you really feel that positive emotion of genuine yeah. love, care, gratitude, you're doing more for yourself and the planet and the frequency you're putting out to your cells, to the environment, than anything right. else. You can charge your crystal with that. You hold it in your hand and charge it with that coherent heart love. And it'll be there as a as a battery for you when you come back to it, but you still have to do the work in yourself. There's nobody that's going to heal you yourself. There's all these tools that can help us find out and have a mirror to what's going on inside. And that's the beauty of it. It's self-empowerment. That's the whole game.
Yeah. Yeah, it's sort of like a permission slip, you know, whatever works for you. If you're giving it energy and you're giving, you know, you're putting the idea that this helps me and so forth, then it sort of makes it so, right? It's
yeah. And if it actually is emitting a frequency like rose quartz is wonderful, you know, then you actually couple your heart vibration with that frequency more and it's more effective.
Right. 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 Now, this leads me to another kind of thought. Excuse me. Have you done any sort of research on the effects of spending time in nature and how that affects the heart? Because we all spend so much time in these artificial environments and so forth. And then, of course, you hear, you know, the benefits of being in nature and how, you know, you spend a few days and you're you sort of start syncing up with the natural rhythms as far as your sleep cycle and things like that. Have you guys done any sort of investigation into that?
Yes. In fact, when you're in that heart rhythm coherent state, that's the fundamental resonant frequency of all mammals. You know, we've done research where a boy was hooked up and a dog was hooked up and they were in two different rooms and they weren't, then the dog came into the room with the boy, his dog, and they weren't touching. And he sat down, the boy did what we call heart lock in, doing that, getting that heart coherence and radiating love to the dog. And the dog's heart rhythm went into the same coherent pattern, but at a different heart rate. The frequency is 0.1 hertz on the power spectrum. And that is the resonant frequency of the open heart of all nature, of all human beings, of all mammals. So when we're in that rhythm, we feel connected, and that's why nature is so nurturing. And of course, there's prana, and there's other things that refresh our lungs and our etheric body. But one of the main things that puts us in resonance with nature is that we're on the same wavelength when we open our hearts. And so nature, being bathed in nature, going out for a few days, the mind finally shuts up and we finally connect and sync up with nature. The idea
there
is
you
to
have
take,
it.
Yeah, take nature to us, with us to the office. I mean, you can pull out a plant, but you can find that space wherever you are if you shift to the heart and breathe and love at that coherent rhythm.
That's wonderful. Would you say there is a difference between, you know, you hear a lot about IQ or, you know, EQ, you know, emotional intelligence. Would you say there's a difference between heart intelligence and emotional intelligence?
There's a distinction, yeah. If you look at emotional intelligence, I mean, look at the history of intelligence. There's IQ and then Howard Gardner found there was actually seven intelligences, from kinesthetic intelligence to social intelligence, and covered all those. And then Daniel Goleman wrote about emotional intelligence, which was really our ability to understand our own emotions, be self-aware of them, and have that emotion, more understanding of others' emotions. And that's an aspect of heart intelligence. Heart intelligence, look at is when that intuition comes in, that intuitive guidance, it is embracing mind intelligence, emotional intelligence, physical intelligence. All the intelligences can be directed and guided by this heart intelligence because it's coming from our higher self that is coordinating all the body's aspects and functions, heart, mind, and body. And so that portal to a higher intelligence that is harmonizing and synthesizing all of our aspects of intelligence from down to the cellular level is really what we're calling heart intelligence.
Ah, so it's sort of like the intelligence of all intelligences.
Well, that's, you call it what you want, spiritual intelligence, but it's that portal, that access for you.
Right.
You know, and so that's why we say it's not just emotional intelligence, but we call it heart intelligence because the heart is our access code. It's in the center of the body. It's your heart starts beating in in the embryo before anything else is, before the brain. The heart.
Isn't that the first thing that forms?
Yes.
Is right. The heart. So we literally emerge from the heart. I mean, how beautiful is that?
Yeah, exactly. Right. There's the DNA. Mm-hmm. And then the DNA instructs the heart to be formed. So the DNA you can consider as pure information.
Yeah, yeah. So you know, of course, you've referenced, you know, the higher self multiple times and things like that. And I'm curious what your thoughts are. And it's sort of a theme topic. I always like to hear all of my guests' sort of perspective on what is, you know, the ultimate nature of reality to you. What would you say is going on here in general on this planet? What are we doing here?
Whew, that's a big question.
I know it is.
What is the ultimate nature of reality? Well, I can only share with you my own perception and experience of what's going on here. Of course, there's other people who talk about this, but I like to speak from my own reality.
Mm-hmm. Exactly what I want to hear.
That's all we have. I feel that we're all here to awaken our consciousness to a greater consciousness, mm-hmm. whether it's call it evolution through learning and growing, call it whatever you want. But the universe is expanding. We're all being pushed by like an evolutionary thrust towards becoming more than we've been, becoming more of who, what I believe we really are. Knocking the dust off, peeling the layers mm-hmm. of the onion off. I think the potential is there, just like an acorn is a seed that grows into an oak tree. We all right. have a blueprint within ourselves, and we're here to learn how to activate it, to unfold it, to grow ourselves. There's a lot of facilitation, but we're like on the earth body to awaken to our greater self. And it's a process, and we're learning some of the roadmap, and some of the instruction manuals are being downloaded into human consciousness, and HeartMath is one aspect of that. And so there's going to be more and more, and our technologies are going to facilitate that. And the more we are, or can facilitate it if we use it for that, the more that people wake up to love. And the purpose of life is to love. That's not just a trite phrase.
Yeah.
But the love, care, kindness to each other, that we're all interconnected. And the more science helps to validate that so that we can't run from it, this separation goes, we'll start moving into the connected collective consciousness where we really can create heaven on earth. And to me, that's what it's all about here.
Absolutely. I'm very fond of saying, you know, the quote, love is the answer. Now, what was the question?
Yeah,
and I think that's what we're here figuring out, how to, you know, sort of bring in more love and light and understanding of who and what we truly are behind the layers that have been hiding the higher self, the true self. So would you say there's a spiritual awakening happening from your perspective? I mean, do you feel like there's a speeding up?
Oh, definitely. I see it everywhere. When I travel, when I do programs, the people who contact us, everybody's talking about it who's at all awake, because more people are talking about the heart and talking about there's something bigger going on and feeling it in the air. And some people want to open to it. Some people are scared of it. Some people aren't there yet. But among people who care, who have opened their heart a bit, they're receiving more of that input, that information from a non-local information field, and then we're corroborating it with each other, and it's very exciting.
Yeah, and speaking of that, it is awfully exciting. One of my favorite topics to touch on, you know, pertaining to this is, you know, hearing any of my guest stories of synchronicity or serendipity or a positive paranormal story. And I'm guessing, speculating that someone doing so much heart work has some beautiful story that you could share.
Well, there's so many, you know, when you start to live in your heart, your life becomes a series of flow and synchronicities. The more you're in that heart coherent space, the more you can still the frequencies, your mental and emotional vibrations at different times during the day. That is sort of like, and the more you find that peace, that real peace, that sort of opens the door for a liquid flow. And as you flow through life more, you find everything is kind of more flowing. So the right person calls at the right time. Your intuition comes in and says, you know, I shouldn't really answer that email yet. Let me wait. And then sure enough, and the right answer comes to you in the next email. And there's so many of these that they become a way of life. And sure, there's times where things are herky-jerky and nothing seems to work that day or fall in place. But to have that synchronicities and as resonances and those flow states happen more and more is where we're headed in the next dimension, and is what learning to connect back with your heart and follow your heart and listen to your heart and refine that practice brings you to. So whether it's the parking space that you wanted to open up, it's not like taking it for granted, because as soon as we take anything in life for granted and our appreciation wanes, then we end up having a lot of jerky experiences until we get back to that connection of the awesomeness of which we live and come back to that perception and appreciation. You know, whether it's, you know, the phone rings and it's somebody you've just been thinking about. I mean, that it's a flow. And I would say the most important thing I'd like to leave people with is the hope and the promise that you can have more of that intuitive, graceful flow in your life where things come together and there's more harmony and the right people show up at the right time. And you have more of that intuitive guidance from your heart of when to say go, when to say stop, when to say yes, when to say no at those choice points or hinge points that bring you more fulfillment and quality of life.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's one of the biggest lessons on my own sort of spiritual journey has been to stop trying so aggressively to affect the external world with my actions, instead looking within and focusing on, you know, getting my inner life in order, and then allowing, as you say, things to flow to me. So when something is in flow, it kind of what, you know, the I think it's a Rumi quote, what you seek is seeking you. You know, and when you just stop trying to manipulate the outside world so much and instead go within and get in that heart-centered space and vibrational space that is sort of calling it to you, then all of a sudden you have the synchronicity or the event that's like, oh my gosh, look how this lined up. It's like it just dropped in my lap. Obviously, this is the direction I'm meant to go. And that comes, you know, it flows to you instead of you sort of, you know, desperately trying to figure it out there somewhere.
Right. Absolutely.
So Deborah, this has been absolutely fascinating. I so have enjoyed every moment of this. And I do have one question I'd like to leave you with that I like to put everyone out there. I always jokingly say put people on the spot, but I know it's not going to put you on the spot because I know you're going to have a quick-witted answer. In 60 seconds or less, what is the meaning of life according to Deborah Rosman?
It sounds trite to say, but the meaning of life is to bring the higher dimensions of love into this dimension and just fill this consciousness with more love and light and intelligence, because love creates intelligence and opens us to more co-creation and creative possibilities. So the meaning of life is to grow in love and intelligence and in joy and fulfillment. And all of our tests and challenges are grist for the mill for us to transform that density like fuel to bring more of that light in.
Beautifully said. Thank you so much for your service, helping to bring those higher dimensions of love to this planet with your wonderful work at HeartMath. And people can find the new book, Heart Intelligence, Connecting with the Intuitive Guidance of the Heart, at Amazon is the best place. Is that correct?
Yes, right. They can find that's the best place. You can get it in ebook form or in printed form.
Right. And then the website, of course, is heartmath.com.
Right. Absolutely. Come find Trust Out, take a look at the different programs and products. We have people who want to get certified as coach mentors in heart math and workshop leaders, as well as health professionals to take programs to be certified in how to use it with their patients or clients. A lot of ways to share the heart in the world, but it starts with yourself. So come visit us at our websites and please do read the book. Thank you so much, Brandon.
Thank you, Deborah. Well, everyone, that concludes this week's interview episode. If you have enjoyed this positive download, please take a minute, give us a rating or review on iTunes. Since iTunes is the holy grail of all things podcasting, your good reviews help us to reach more listeners. Also, we would be extremely appreciative if you would tell your friends and family about the show. Our sincere intent with the Positive Head podcast is to spread positivity to the world because, well, because we're selfish, quite honestly. I say that jokingly, but really only halfway joking. I'm referring to the good kind of selfish based on the knowing that we all get what we give in this life, because when we give, we're actually always giving to extensions of self, since we're all really one in the same consciousness, just in different bodies. So if you want to be a good selfish along with us by helping to spread the positivity, by all means, please proceed to shout about the Positive Head podcast from your rooftop. Otherwise, as you continue on your fabulous journey in this 3D reality, be sure to remember this. As long as you ain't dead, you're already positive ahead. Journey well, everyone, and thank you for being.